The song that the choir and all of us just sang is found in a supplement to our hymnal that came out about 5 years ago, 2005, called Singing the Journey. We try to pull some songs out of that from time to time that both the choir can sing, and invite you to join them and join them too. And that was the, as I say, the song is found in this hymnal supplement of ours. And even though the hymnal supplement came out 5 years ago, that song, Standing on the Side of Love, had been sung at various Unitarian Universalist and other gatherings well before then, and it reached a kind of a level of understanding or popularity, I guess you could call it, so it got included. But then the song took on an enhanced meaning in the days after July the 27th of 2008. That was just a little over a year and a half ago. That was the Sunday, many of you may recall, even though it was in the middle of the summer, when an angry and hate-filled individual opened fire on a Unitarian Universalist congregation in Knoxville, Tennessee, as they were at worship and listened to their children's choir sing selections from the musical Annie. Two people were killed, several were wounded. When the gunman James David Edkinson was subdued and apprehended by the police, he stated that he did what he did because he felt that liberals, and gay people in particular, were ruining America, and he was out to kill as many as he could. Several months later, he pleaded guilty to two counts of murder, is serving a double life sentence without parole. The case never went to a trial. The response of our sister congregation in Knoxville to this event was nothing short of amazing. As you can well imagine, I'm sure they were traumatized, grief-stricken, angry, as any congregation would be in the wake of such a horrific deed. And yet, as they came together in the days that followed to find comfort and love and support from one another, both in informal gatherings, in memorial services, in grief counseling sessions, a theme and a refrain began to emerge. Without denying or diminishing their shock, their trauma, their pain, their grief, they also took up the song that we just heard and sang together, declaring that they, this congregation, would stand on the side of love rather than allow themselves to succumb to the very kind of hatred that had taken the lives of two of their fellow worshipers during a Sunday service. 18 months later, I continue to salute that congregation. I especially salute my colleague, the Reverend Chris Pice, for the outstanding leadership he has offered and continues to offer this congregation in Knoxville. It's a very large congregation of some 500 plus people right there in the heart of the Bible Belt. One of the many months that followed those very trying, very terrible days, the phrase, standing on the side of love, has taken on a life of its own and a wide range of meanings of its own, all the way throughout our liberal religious movement and our association. It has become the title for a public advocacy campaign of our Unitarian Universalist Association to promote the inherent worth and dignity of all persons as they are impacted by social policies and societal attitudes. I have asked that our fellow congregations observe this as Standing on the Side of Love Sunday. And while much of this campaign has been focused on the issue of same-sex marriage, it has become a much more far-reaching term for much of the social justice work that takes place both at the association level and that of our local congregations. I'm not going to get into all the details on that, but I have offered, we do have on our information table when you go into coffee hour today, there is an information sheet that tells a little more about our association's Standing on the Side of Love initiative. It includes a website address you can go to. All of that information is on our information table, so pick that up when you go in the coffee hour today. Well, what does it mean then to stand on the side of love? Well, for openers, it means more things than could ever possibly be addressed in a single Sunday service, that is for sure. But we, Kathy Fletcher and I, are going to go in a couple of directions with it this morning. I'm going to say a bit about what I think it means when it comes to affecting public policy. Kathy will go in a more personal direction as to what it means when it comes to demonstrating our care, our support, our compassion, our love for one another as members and friends in a congregation like this one. And she will be extending a special invitation to you as well. Build a little bit on the announcement that Laurie made at the beginning of the service. Well, I'm going to pick up my end of the conversation for a few minutes this morning by beginning and invoking some words by the Reverend Martin Luther King. He once observed, "One of the greatest problems of history is that the concepts of love and power are opposites." King then went on to say, "Power without love is reckless and abusive, and love without power is sentimental and anemic." King continued, "Power at its best is love implementing the demands of justice." Try that last sentence one more time. Power at its best is love implementing the demands of justice. We'll throw in a little bit of an interlude here to note that the love of which Dr. King's speaking here is not the sentimental kind. He points that out. Although I should also say that on this Valentine's Day, take off you people looking as festive as you do out there, I would say that sentimental love is certainly not something to be disparaged, particularly on a day when it is celebrated. I'm sure Dr. King and his wife, Coretta Scott, certainly had their sentimental times. It would be a pretty dull world without the hearts and flowers kind of love that we also share and celebrate in. So do make sure you offer your Valentine Day greetings today to all of those to whom you want to extend them, if you haven't done so already. And if you have, we'll do it again. You can't do that too often, after all. Bear all that in mind. And we're going to return to Dr. King's words about love and power. For what he is saying, he says those words out of a recognition that power and the dynamics of power are always at work in any society, whatever its method of governance may be. That is as much a given as the law of gravity. Simply put, power is just, it's the means by which things get done. It's the means by which ends are accomplished, whether it's in a unit as small as a family or as large as a whole nation. That's what it is. Now take that back to what Dr. King said. Power without love is reckless and abusive. What he's saying is that unless the exercise of power is directed by some greater concept of the human good and leavened with the preservation and assurance of certain human rights, then it becomes an instrument of oppression, reckless and abusive, as Dr. King put it. I'm sure you know this, knowing the life of Dr. King. You know about the historical context within which he spoke those words. It was one in which the exercise of power was often used as an instrument of discrimination, oppression, and even violence against African Americans and other persons of color. Those lines come from a book he published in the late 1950s. This does not mean, it did not even mean then, doesn't mean now, that power was or is bad in and of itself. It meant that it needed to be redirected by the kind of love that celebrates the inherent worth and dignity of all persons, that strives for justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, and it honors the interdependent web of life in which we all live and move and have our being. That is the kind of love of which Dr. King was speaking and writing when he said that power without love is reckless and abusive. It is also the kind of love that is referred to in the phrase, standing on the side of love. Well, we know that the historical setting out of which Dr. King offered his words has changed. But the greater principle that he was addressing with them, we also know, certainly has not. But when it comes to our striving after a more just and loving society, there will always be a need. Indeed, there will always be a moral imperative to stand on the side of love. I would say this issue of same-sex marriage is one of the more recent examples of this larger principle. And as I see it, when the power of the state is used to deny same-sex couples the same rights and responsibilities as heterosexual couples, that is abuse of power. And it needs to be directed, redirected, to assure the same rights of all. I also happen to believe that such rights as these are not subject to popular sentiment, whatever it might be. If the 1954 Supreme Court had based their Brown versus Board of Education decision solely on the popular sentiment of that day, then our public schools could have remained racially segregated with the full blessing of the law and the full exercise of power in any given state. I feel one of the roles of both our courts and our legislative bodies is to assure the full protection of rights of its citizens from an arbitrary and discriminatory use of power. And I believe that is what our state legislation and governor did last May with the enactment of same-sex marriage legislation, and it is not to be undone. As I said earlier, there's more information about the full range of our association's Standing on the Side of Love campaign that's on the information table. That is the focusing issue at this point, but it is not the only one that comes under that whole banner. I think it's time now, having spoken my piece, to bring this idea of standing on the side of love a little closer to home. For loving and caring about humanity, in broad strokes, also means loving and caring and reaching out to human beings. One or two or three or more persons at a time. Standing on the side of love is as much about how we exist in community here with one another as it is about our striving for the greater good. And it's not a question of which one is more important or which one is more vital. It's that the two of them, of necessity, go hand in hand. And so on that note, I'm very pleased now to welcome Kathy Fletcher, member of our Worship Associates community, our Worship Associates group, who's going to speak a little further on this angle on the topic. Kathy?
This I do in quiet ways, that on your lonely path you may not walk alone. Grief, loss, and loneliness, three emotions we humans try most to avoid, are often transformational experiences. They stick in our memories, and in our minds they are oftentimes markers and anchors. We remember where we were on September 11th, or we mark time by how many years it's been since Dad died. But oftentimes the transformational parts of these experiences are less the loss and loneliness we've felt at these times, but more the support and kindness we felt from others who've helped us through them. A friend willing to drop everything to take care of your children while you're waiting with a loved one at the hospital. The phone call from an acquaintance to check in when you're recovering from an illness. The cards and letters of support you received at what seemed the most impossible time of your life. These loving human gestures are what reaffirms our faith in our ability to become reconnected with the world, to come away from these horrible times a changed person. These connections are what confirm in us the belief that love is stronger than grief. Love is stronger than loss. Love is stronger than loneliness. Support, kindness, witnessing, listening, these are the personal acts that demonstrate standing on the side of love. They are quiet acts, often with profound impact. But strangely, the profound impact is not only felt by she who was comforted, they are often felt by the comforter as well. And surely when a true moment of connection happens between two people, a bond is formed, a strong human bond that feels greater than each of the individuals. The mystery is that we are connected, even when we feel apart. By our loving acts, we embrace that connection. Sometimes reaching for those connections means taking a risk and feeling vulnerable. Sometimes making those connections means taking an emotional risk by opening our hearts and feeling and embracing another person in pain. Sometimes making the connections means standing up for what's right and speaking out even when your voice shakes. But when the connection is made, there is definitely an aha moment, a we are connected moment, a there is a bigger mystery here moment. And recognition of the connection is transformational and maybe spiritual. I'd like to share a story about myself here to make a larger point. In February of 2002, I had to fly from here to Chicago to take part in a library training workshop. And I was pregnant with my sons, Keith and Andy, and I was like, you know, this pregnant. And it was the first time I had flown since September 11th. And I was also part of a covenant group here at the church. And we had met like the Sunday before my trip, was like on Tuesday. And I don't remember the topic of the meeting, but one of the person in my covenant group said that he was going to keep his eyes open for the way that God worked in his life. And I remember thinking, yep, okay, sure. Not disrespectful, God knows, but not really seeing God working in my life. So anyway, I got on my plane to Chicago. And I ended up sitting next to this nice couple who told me that they were flying to Las Vegas to see a NASCAR race. And I remember thinking, well, that's very nice, you know, and thinking, well, I brought a good look and all, you know, that's good. So as the plane started to back away from the terminal, the man next to me picked up and patted his companion's hand, and he said, you know, it's going to be okay. And he smiled at me. He said, she's a little nervous because this is the first time she's flown since September 11th. And I said, oh, yeah, me too. And then, without blinking, he said, would you like me to hold your hand? He made the connection. He reached out in an act of love to a stranger just to offer comfort. Nothing huge, nothing heroic, just an offer to hold my hand. And I felt God work in my life. Not from some outside, all-powerful God, but from the kind of love a stranger offers another human to comfort another human in need. Several weeks ago in our church, we had a guest speaker, a ministerial student named Andrew Millard. And in his sermon, Andrew pointed out that Unitarian Universalism is foundationally different from other faiths. Other faiths, he said, were based on a top-down model of adherence to an outside, omnipotent authority with a set of prescribed rules. You use covenant, that is, we agree and promise to each other to adhere to principles in community with each other. We don't all agree to follow the same rules and regulations of belief. What holds us in relationship is that we agree on principles that we hold in our hearts as we travel together. Our third UU principle states we affirm and promote encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. My interpretation of that principle is that we should seek out these opportunities. We should seek out opportunities to help each other. And we should seek out those moments of aha connection. How are we best to find these moments? We will find them by offering what our love has to give. The strength of our caring, the bonds of compassion, the empowerment of listening, the possibility of trusting each other. Trust in another's compassion and the willingness to take the risk to ask for love and support are both acts of faith in a UU community. On Saturday, February 20th, from 9 to 2, we all have a wonderful opportunity to grow as a congregation. On that day, the Reverend Karen Foley will be leading a workshop for folks interested in being part of a care team at this church. And while it's true that there is a small group of volunteers who've already had this training, I would like to argue that our whole congregation should be a care team. Karen is a talented teacher who will provide you with, what will she provide you? With all the tools of caring. You'll learn how to listen. You will learn what you have to offer another. You will learn what it means to stand on the side of love in human interaction. This training will help you become a better friend, a better parent, a better son or daughter, and a better person. It is my hope also that as we become more compassionate caregivers, we will also learn more about taking and asking for help from each other. I hope that when we learn this, our congregation can feel like a safe place for emotional and spiritual support. As we grow together, offering and sharing, making these connections, let us also grow together in spirit. Let us grow in faith that we have what we have, that we have what we need now. Let us become a welcoming, loving, spiritual community full of caregivers. A community proud to be standing on the side of love. So may it be.
Kathy, thank you. Thank you very much for the very wonderful, heartwarming words. And I do join with her in extending the invitation. If there are those of you who can't attend the workshop that the Reverend Foley will be leading this coming Saturday, I think we already have about 15, 16, 17, something like that. People already are signed up for it, but there is room for more. I believe there's also a sign-up sheet. Sherry's on the information table, newcomers table. There's a sheet in there, and I had several of us took this last September and decided we got so much out of it we wanted to bring it home here. So if you're able to join us next Saturday, please do so. I think it's going to run from about 9:30 till 2:30 in the afternoon, and lunch will be provided. Well, we began these presentations this morning by recounting a tragedy that beset the Knoxville, Tennessee Unitarian Universalists over a year and a half ago. We didn't leave it with the tragedy part, though. We also looked at some of the amazing ways in which they responded to this very traumatic experience that hit their congregation. All across the country, as the news of that event spread across the news wires and into UU congregations, a number of Unitarian Universalist congregations, including ours here, we formed some very impromptu memorial services. And I know that even though it was the middle of summer and we were scattered all over the place, still quite a number of us, about two or three days later, came out and gathered here in the congregation to extend our thoughts, prayers, and best wishes to our fellow Unitarian Universalists in Knoxville. I said we were joined by UUs all across the country at that time who were doing the same thing. And as was the case in many of those gatherings, we ended our gathering here by singing the song the children at the Knoxville congregation were preparing to sing for their congregation on that July morning. The sun will come out tomorrow. They didn't get a chance to sing it in that service, but in some of the other services that were held later that week, and in the way the Knoxville, many of the other mainline Protestant congregations in Knoxville kind of rallied around the UU church there. The song, The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow, was sang in a number of those gatherings. And so in order to honor this Standing on the Side of Love Sunday, we're going to close with it today, not only to keep in our hearts and minds the Knoxville Unitarian Universalists as they continue to be a beloved community for one another and for their community as well, but to also remind ourselves, to remind us, so we can be reminded of how all of us, can use the power of love to strengthen and nurture our lives and the life of our much greater human family. I believe the words to that are in your order of service, so let's stand and sing that.